Previously on Thomas and the Bible. We finished the book of Nehemiah. The Israelites celebrated the walls being built. They discovered the Moabites and Ammonites weren't allowed to enter the congregation of God, and Nehemiah enforces the Sabbath. We start the book of Esther, which was written by Mordecai, Esther's uncle dad, usually dated to the 3rd or 4th century BCE. Queen Vashti refused to come out to show off her beauty, so the king, Ahasuerus, divorces her and took himself a virgin named Esther. Then Mordecai hears that some guys plot to kill the king. He tells Esther, and Esther tells the king, and the king has them hung, with a Thomas Yorn count of one.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 112, I believe it would be. Yeah, my favorite part about the previously on is that Harley actually... he actually looks up how to pronounce, or maybe he's just a genius and knows. He actually knows how to pronounce the names. I like it. I don't find it shaming at all. I think it's hilarious because I'm not going to look that up. I'm sorry. I look up a lot of stuff. That's not one thing I'm going to look up. I don't care. I don't care what their dumb names are. what is it? Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus. I can't even do it. I forget. I'd have to go back and play it back. I don't care. I like Ahasuerus, the Triceratops who rules over the Persians. That's my preferred version. So yeah, we're on Esther. Thanks again, Harley, as usual, for the intro. And a couple quick announcements. First of all, I'm getting near the end of the donation contest, as it were. And I'll tell you who won. You're not going to beat, well, I hope you all beat him, but, John P, I won't say a full name just in case, I don't know. John P made a very kind monthly donation. He's signed up and you can totally do that. And thank you guys very much, who have very generous monthly donation. So I will be, he's getting an autographed Bible. He can throw it away or, you know, he can use it as toilet paper for all I care, but he's getting one. I'm going to have to get his address and send him a very nice, autographed, inscribed Bible. Yeah. So that, thank you so much. I just wanted to say thanks to John and everyone. Go ahead and try to outdo him. It's very, very generous of him. Atheistically Speaking is doing really well. I'm absolutely loving this podcast. I really encourage you guys to check it out. A lot of you have. I think there's a lot of people who haven't gotten around to it. Not sure why. Maybe you're, I don't know, maybe you think it's not your thing or something. That's definitely not true. If you're an atheist, if you're thoughtful, you got to be listening to this podcast because we're talking about real thoughtful things within atheism, because there's a divide in atheism, I think, and more than one probably, and we're sort of trying to navigate that, and we really want to build the show, have great guests on as soon as it gets a little bigger, because I hate asking people on a show that's not, you know, we just started, so, but it's rapidly growing, it really is. Also, if you guys, it would be a great help if you guys could write iTunes reviews for the new show. I know, and if any of you haven't written it for this show, go write an iTunes review for this show, you bum. Come on, I'm 112 episodes in, all the work I put in, you can't write me a simple iTunes review. If you donated instead, that's fine. That's okay. And it's some small way, please give back to the show, because it's really, it'll take 2 seconds for any of you. And it helps a lot. And so if you are a mega awesome super fan, like John P or others, many others who, have donated and reviewed this podcast, please hop on to Atheistically Speaking on iTunes and give that a review and subscribe on iTunes. Cause those are the things that push us up in the ratings and, help us get noticed. So thanks a lot. And please do that. Thanks in advance. Okay, I think that's about it for announcements. So we're on Esther 3 today, and hey guys, I'm sticking to my schedule, sticking to my guns. This is like my 5th or 6th, or could even be more than that on this schedule. Let's see. Starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, oh, 6th. Okay. sixth in, on this this new schedule. So I'm trying to stick to it, guys. Previously, it would have taken me more than a month and a half to do six episodes. Usually, it's taken me a little over a week, or maybe closer to 2 weeks. But okay, so I'm sticking to it, and we're on Esther 3. And I looked up a little more information about Esther. It looks like it. People think that it's probably a historical fiction, like a novella. I guess that's debated. I mean, I guess it would be showing my bias to just assume that it's not true, but it's an understandable bias when you're reading the Old Testament. But people think that it was a, sort of a historical fiction that was written, and not because there's a couple details that don't add up. But it's so far it's proving to be an interesting story. If it's a little historical novella, then maybe that could be why it's been slightly more interesting than the incredibly boring stuff we've read. So maybe that is what it is. So after these things, did King Ahasuerus? Oh, that's how he said it. Ahasuerus, or something. I think promote Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants and all the king's men couldn't put Hamadan together again. All the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. The king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandments? Now, I believe Mordecai is the one who was just advanced because he pointed out that some people were planning to kill the king. I believe Mordecai, I'm pretty sure. I'm not going to go back now, but we'll find out. It'll soon become clear, I'm sure. Now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn. Well, okay, yeah, Mordecai being a Jew, that would suggest that he's related to the other Jew in the story, Esther, who's the hot one. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had shewed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. Even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, the first month of 270 months we make up every time. In the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, P-U-R, that's a cool name. Her, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is the month Adar. Like I believe that. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there's a certain people scattered abroad and dispersing among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. So he's saying, and I'm assuming he means the Jews, because it's always the Jews. He's saying like, hey, these guys don't obey your laws. They're, you know, what are we doing here? Let's just get rid of them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the best me for the job. To the hands of those that have the charge of the business, to try to bring it into the king's treasuries. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hamadatha, the Agagite, the guy who Mordecai doesn't like. And maybe this is the reason Mordecai doesn't like him. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Not good. That for the Jews, anyway. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with a kiss. No, sealed with the king's ring. That would have been funnier if they every time they had to seal it with a kiss. Like, all right, come on, let's get this over with. We have to kiss on it, otherwise we can't kill any Jews. Do you want to kill some Jews or not? I mean, come on. Come on. Kiss me. Give me a kiss. So, sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old. Wow, this is serious stuff. But although, hopefully this is a fiction. Although, it's not a terrible historical stretch for Jews to be targeted. So who knows? Maybe this part's true. I don't know. And to cause perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, that they should be ready against that day. The posts went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan, the palace. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. I don't know what that last sentence means, but we're going on to the next book. Okay. When Mordecai, so this is Esther 4, we're reading through 8, I believe. I have to check that again, right? Yes, we're reading through 8. And this time I double-checked the pages. I don't know how I messed that up last time. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on a sackcloth with ashes, and went out to the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai. That's all she cared about. Like, oh, he's walking around in his underwear. Get some clothes on that guy. All right, who cares? And to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then, did you receive my raiment? Everybody loves raiment. I had to make that dumb joke. Everybody loves raiment, a biblical sitcom. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. Got to take a quick water break. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to shew it unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatach, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants, and all the people of the king's provinces, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king to the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Yeah, that's a good point. For if thou altogether holdest thy place at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink. If there's one thing Jews can do, it's fast. I don't know what that accomplishes, but They like to fast. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Yeah, okay, why are we doing this? No, I don't know. She said to do it. Okay. They say, no, I don't need an excuse to fast. I'll do it. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. We might have a cheat day. But we'll most likely be fast. Okay, we'll cut out carbs. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Or in the immortal words of, what's his name from Rocky IV, I think. If he dies, he dies. You know, I can't remember even the actor's name. This is good, better. I can't remember. Rocky 3? 4? The Russian one. 3. Probably 3. Could be 4, though. Could be 7. I don't remember. There's like 6 Rockies. If he dies, he dies. You know, now I'll think of it. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way when he killed Apollo Creed. Guys, he killed Apollo Creed. That's got to be a Rocky 3. I don't know. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Spoiler alert on the Rocky 3 or 4. So sorry. The Russian guy kills Apollo Creed in the ring. Sorry, I can't. I spoiled it for anyone who hasn't seen that movie from the 80s.
If we can, if you were in here cheering for me, maybe we aren't so different.
You know, it's a very powerful message that I think Rocky 3 or 4, whichever it was, I think it single-handedly ended the Cold War. And many historians would back me up on that. Apollo, no, that's the other guy's name. I already said that. What is that dick's name? I don't know. Now it came to pass, as you can tell, those who know me from listening to, you probably know me better than anyone. You've listened to me 112 episodes, 111 and a half, technically, maybe. And, you'll know that I love to not be able to remember things. And I'm not going to look it up. That's too easy. I can't do it. So I love to be in a state of not being able to remember something and not looking it up. So that's just how I like to exist. Esther 5. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over again. Okay, so let me recap just in case you guys didn't follow that. So Mordecai, who's Esther's uncle, or as Harley says, I believe, Uncle Dad, which is kind of cool. I don't know, does it mean uncle on the father's side or something? What is that? I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool, and I wish we did it here in America. Uncle Dad. I like that. Maybe I'm misinterpreting that, but is that what that means? I don't know. Right back. and so her Uncle Dad, we just say uncle over here in the States. And he learns of this plan that the guy, Haman, I think it was, just wants to kill all the Jews and take all their money. And the king's like, ah! it's not a tough sell really to say like, hey, I've been crunching numbers. And I believe we could increase productivity here if we just murdered all these Jews and took their money. Do you have a chart? Yeah, here's a chart. It's just like a line that goes up. That looks like a line that goes up. Yep, that's a line that's going up. Okay, do it. Go kill those Jews. And then they high five. I'm hearing some weird clicks. I hope those aren't existing for you guys. But since I bought my way too expensive new recording gear, because this one's dying, that's probably why it's clicking. That's going to be really cool. It's going to come in a week, or this week. And I really shouldn't have bought it, and I have no money now. So please donate. I spent way too much, kind of in a little bit of debt from it. But you can help me out a little bit. It was a lot of money. I'd thank you a lot for it. Please donate. So the guy has a plan to kill the Jews, which is never a tough sell. As I said, it's always easy. King's like, yeah, whatever. We did. Are they still alive? I thought we killed them. No, we killed them. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. And so Mordecai learns of it. Mordecai leaves the kingdom, I think. And then he, you know, Esther tries to get in touch with him because he goes and tells all the Jews, and all the Jews do their thing where they just fast. I don't know why they don't try to organize and fight or, I don't know, anything but just starving themselves when they probably need nutrients. That'd be, I don't know why that's the plan, but for some reason that's the plan. Anyway, so Esther's like, well, okay, the king apparently has a rule that if you walk in his, if you come into his house, that he will kill you. No, that you're to be killed unless you're called for or unless he holds his golden scepter. And Esther says, I don't know if he's going to have me killed because he hasn't called for me in 30 days. So I don't know. And then Mordecai's like, well, you're a Jew. So do you think you're going to live? You know, because she was saying like, I don't want to do this. I might die. And then she's like, and then he says, well, you might die anyway. And so there we are. And she says, all right, I'll do it. But not until you guys fast for no reason for 3 days. And they're like, well, done and done. We are a fasting kind over here. So on the third day, Esther, after they fasted, Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. The king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. I hope that's not all euphemism. Golden scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given to thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, maybe not kill everyone I know. if you don't mind, if it's not too much trouble. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet I have prepared for him, and I'll poison your asses. And the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? This is going well. Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition, and it's to form a neighborhood watch. I don't know. I just thought she like forgot about the whole genocide thing. Yeah, there's a lot of crime around here. We need a neighborhood watch. Sign my petition, please. And to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall... Wait, I thought this was the banquet. Isn't this the banquet already? At the banquet, yeah. What? They're already at the banquet, dumb Bible. And to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king hath said. Then went Haman forth that day, joyful and with glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches, and the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow I am... So it's another banquet, I guess. And tomorrow I am invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go in thou in merrily with the king to the banquet. And the thing pleased him. This guy is kind of a dick. And caused the gallows. They made a gallows. So he's like, well, I'm getting invited to with the king, you know, and that's all cool and everything. But none of it matters because there's this one Jewish guy that just doesn't bow when I walk by him. It just kills me. There's always, it's like that one bad comment you see on I never see him, let's face it, that you see on Twitter or whatever. It's worse than all the good comments you've ever seen. Quick drink, sorry. Okay. So now we're on to Esther 6. So the guy even has the gallows made and is like, that's a swell idea. I'm going to hang the Jew. And then has gallows made and then is like, oh, it's a great day. He's like, it couldn't be better. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that'll put you to sleep. That is, I need to screenshot this right now, because this is, I mean, I could just remember it, but yeah, that's the story of my life, guys. I'm going to post this on the Facebook. He couldn't sleep. This is, I didn't make this up. This is, like, that sounds like I could have shoved in that punchline. The king couldn't sleep, so he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. So, like, the book of Chronicles, essentially. And then they read it for 2 seconds. He's like, he never woke up after that. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door who sought to lay hands on king. He already forgot on the king Ahasuerus. And the king's, okay, maybe these are more recent chronicles. I'll give them that. Maybe they're not literally talking about First and Second Chronicles, but you never know. They said what? The law, the book of records. I don't know. So then he finds, I don't know why he had to look at a book of records to find something that happened like 10 minutes ago, but Mordecai had prevented that plot against the king. Excuse me. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" And the king's servants were like, see that gallows out there? There is nothing done for him," they said. And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on that gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king, you can tell this is a historical fiction because things are happening. This is actually somewhat interesting of a story. I'm like kind of engaged in this. And it's because it's not real. It has to be. It has to be a made up little novella. "Behold, Hamath standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, well, he thought it was him, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal," ooh, crown royal, "which is upon his head. And let this apparel and his horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may..." So he thinks he's talking about himself, but he's talking about Mordecai. "May array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and let him be able to F my wife all night." Am I right? King's like, okay. Since you volunteer. "They may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'You're definitely not Mordecai.'" Yeah, I can tell you that. "Thus shall it be done. Proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew." And Haman shit himself. "That sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all thou hast spoken." Then there's a loud record scratch. "Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, 'Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Well, to his credit, he seems not to have complained. "And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, but Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends of everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, 'If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him.'" And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. The plot thickens. So we're on 7 now. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. What is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondman and bondwoman, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. And then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? Dude, you're the king and you authorize this. Why? I don't understand. This king doesn't pay a whole lot of attention, I don't think. He's just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, okay, do that. Yeah. He's like, if I see a graph that just has a line that goes up, I don't even know what the axes are or anything. Yeah, I'm in. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up. I'm guessing he's going to get hanged in his own gallows, but that's just me. I don't actually know. And Haman stood up to make a request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. So he was in the bed where the queen was? That's not good. Maybe he fainted. I don't know. And Harbanah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows. Hey, I just noticed we got a big gallows out there. You want to make use of that? The gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who has spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. What do you know? So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified, and they all lived happily ever after. Yeah, this is far too neat a story to be real. On that day did King Rhinoceros give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what was done unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king, and said, if it please the king, and if I have favor in his sight, and this thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by... How did that not already happen? Yeah, okay, we get it. It's probably not going to happen. The Jews are probably okay, I'm guessing. Seems to be where this story is going. The letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in the king, in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come into my people, or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then there, well, except the previous one that just happened. So I guess he's saying, write ye for the writing. Yeah. And the king's ring. Yeah, that's exactly how the original writing to kill the Jews was. So I like his logic, like, well, if I write this order, no one can reverse it because I signed it and with my ring. It's like, well, what about the other thing? So how do you reconcile contradicting things that both can't be reversed? I don't know. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in King Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback. hey, the murdering's off! No massacring, call it back! Everyone's like, oh, but we're all ready to murder. No, sorry, murdering's canceled. Maybe next year. With a king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, and riders and mules and camels and, oh my, and young dromedaries. Almost done. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together. He's like, quit your fasting. All the Jews were fasting, of course. And to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both the little ones and women, and to take spoil of them for a prey. So he switched it back on those guys. Everyone who was planning to kill Jews now is in danger of being killed, I guess. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor, and they lived happily ever after for the rest of time. And in every province, in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Also, Tiny Tim did not die. While we're on happy endings, I don't know. So that's it. I'm going to go ahead and say this, guys. That was by far the most pleasurable Bible reading I've had yet. That something actually happened. There was a plot. There's, could almost say, lessons being taught, although not, I mean, sort of cartoonish villains and stuff. But I don't know. I guess it's not bad. That was thoroughly enjoyable. I did not mind. That was the first time I've read part of the Bible and been like, wow, all right. If all of it was like that, it'd be at least entertaining. Not a bad historical. I'm sure there's movies made about Esther, although they'll rename her in the movie. They won't call her Esther. There's no way. The ugliest old person name. Sorry to anyone named Esther. Maybe that's a hipster name that'll come back into style. All right. So that's it. Thank you guys so much. Like I said, please donate, please, check on, Atheistically Speaking and write me a review. That would be fantastic. A good review, preferably, but you know, whatever, if you don't like it, go ahead and write a review. I don't know. That would be fantastic. And I will see you guys, 3 days. Thanks a lot. Bye.